actors, producers, directors, costume designers, writers, and so much more. If you love the world of film and TV, then you've come to the right place. Welcome to Reel, where film and conversation meet. Get ready, grab your popcorn and dim the lights, and join us for this episode of Reel to Reel. Here's your host, Sergio Barrera. Welcome everyone to the first episode of Reel to Reel. My name is Sergio Barrera and I welcome you. Many of you know me from my previous projects, particularly A Few Minutes With and most recently, The Random Riff. This show, Reel to Reel, is a Random Riff podcast network production. We are going to talk movies. Here on Reel to Reel, we're going to focus on all types of topics related to movies and film, whether it be big screen or even shows and such via streaming services and so forth. So it's going to be a great opportunity for me to get together with friends, talk about what we like in terms of movies and cinema. And really, the topics are going to be so varied, it's hard to predict what's going to happen next. So you'll have to join us week to week to figure out what is it we're going to talk about next. My guests this week are two very dear friends from different aspects of my life. Brian Olson is joining me, as well as my friend Bella. Bella is from the roller derby world, so many of you will know her from that aspect. And Brian and I are coworkers and, of course, good friends. And what we all share in common is a love of movies and film, particularly the Marvel Cinematic Universe. And so, Brian, Bella, welcome to Reel to Reel. Thanks so much for being on episode number one.
Thank you so much for having us. It's exciting to get on the stage and speak on things that we love, especially the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Hi, thanks for having me. I am super excited to talk about these somewhat nerdy movies that I watched over and over again.
Yeah, that's definitely, you know, you guys, it is about passion. It's about what we love to do. And Bella, you hit the nail on the head. These movies are very, very iconic. You know, we just saw a few weeks ago the culmination of a 22-film series in Avengers Endgame. And while we're not here necessarily to review the film, we will talk about our thoughts overall on that particular movie. What we do want to talk about today and what we agreed might be a fun topic to discuss is some of the major character arcs that took place over the entirety of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, and then sort of bring it together. It's how it was, how they resolved themselves within the context of Endgame. Because I don't know how you guys feel when watching Endgame, and I myself have seen it three different times. I saw it the night that it opened. A few weeks later, I watched it again, had to do the whole 3D experience, IMAX and so forth. But then I found myself compelled to watch it a third time because I really, really wanted to sort of pay attention to the nuances of character and so forth. Because every time I watched it, what I came away with was how this was such a defining moment and a, in many cases, both literal and not, a final moment for some of these great characters that we've been following now for 10 years. What was the impressions you guys had? And Bella, we'll start with you. Just sort of give me your overall impressions as you watched Endgame. You know, what were your feelings when it came to characters and the overall experience?
So I have to start with full disclosure. For me, when I watch Marvel movies, I'm not analyzing it or really even thinking about it from a character standpoint. I never read comic books growing up, so I literally knew nothing about these characters as I went into starting to get into the movies, you know, first with Iron Man and then on down the line all the way through Avengers. So for me, when I went to go see the movie, I've only seen it once. I'll definitely, you know, add it to my collection and watch it over and over like I have the others. But for me, like, I really, when I went into the movie, my expectations, like, I really just wanted, like, a good flick that paid homage to all of my favorite characters. You know, whether you're into the background information on all of the characters or you just love a good movie, you know, with complex characters and good plot and all of that stuff, you still want a movie that does justice and doesn't fall flat. And so that's kind of what I was hoping for when I went into the movie was, you know, one that, like I said, treated my favorite characters the way that I had hoped that they would. There were some disappointments and others, I mean, overall, though, like, I loved it. So,
yeah. I'll be interested to hear, even, you know, not just what you felt went well, but also even disappointments. Because it really, you know, I think we all have different characters that we love and that we have followed for so long. So it'll be interesting to hear your thoughts in more detail. Brian, as you experienced the movie for the first time, or just overall, share a little bit about how it made you feel, and you know, how was it knowing that this was a culmination of such a deep experience in terms of the movies overall?
Yeah, definitely. And it's funny how we say that, you know, it's been 22 movies, but it really doesn't feel like that to me. I just, the story and the whole, you know, the saga was just so well done that it kind of comes together, and you don't really think about it being 22 movies. You see as one huge story. And when I came into Endgame, that was kind of my process. I'm like, you don't, those 22 movies, these, you know, 11 years kind of just flew by, and you were watching all these characters that you've been watching for the last, you know, 11 years, the last 22 movies all in one. And they all have different motivations and different reasons of being there. And that's one thing that kind of stood out to me. And just, you know, the big thing for me was I was expecting, you know, obviously we can spoil Sophia, right? So like,
oh yeah, it's like, been plenty of time.
Yeah. So like, you know, with Tony, I kind of expected that to happen. That I knew that some of these characters their stories were coming to an end, like Captain America and Iron Man, and you know, so I expected that to happen. But even when it did happen, it was still kind of like this is really it. Like this is the end. Like this is, you know, I love how they did it. And there are like Bella said, there are some things that are kind of, you know, it wasn't a perfect movie, but it was just the perfect ending. And I don't think that the Russo brothers could have done any better with culmination, especially with Tony Stark, man. And that scene when he snaps his fingers, and it's just, it brings chills down my spine. It gives me goosebumps, because from when he started in the saga, the first movie of Iron Man, and it ends with Iron Man, it's just, it's incredible. And I was blown away by it, and I loved it. I've only seen it once too. I was going to go see it this weekend for the real release. It didn't work out that way, but I have it so fresh in my memory still from only watching it once, and I can't wait to see it again. But it was just an incredible film, and I loved it. It was the perfect culmination to me with this, you know, Infinity Saga, per se, that they're calling it.
Yeah. I think it's one of those movies that, for myself personally, there are movies that I can see one time, and then that's that. Great, saw it, wonderful. This one is one of those movies that I know I'll be able to see several times, and I'm already in my head looking forward to getting to enjoy it at home. You know, I've seen it on the big screen. I love going into the details of movies and such. And this movie that we're talking about is so rich with details, and not just story wise, but of course visually. You know, you jump to the very final scene where, you know, the culmination of the battle, and we see just about every single possible character we've seen over the course of several years, you know, here on the same screen. And even though some just get a few seconds of time, you don't feel like anything's been cheated, because it's the characters that have made this entire journey as memorable as it is. We've gotten to meet some of them in their own individual films. I think of Doctor Strange, who has less than 5 minutes of screen time in Endgame, and yet I didn't feel cheated, because the moments he was on screen, in combination with his work or his appearances in Infinity War, and of course in the standalone Doctor Strange film, I didn't feel like he got cheated in terms of his appearance in Endgame, because he was there for crucial moments. That iconic image of him holding that one finger up, it's stay with me, or one of the many images that'll stay with me from this film, because I feel like that character, as little bit of time as was spent on screen, it was done in a meaningful way. Same with Black Panther. Captain Marvel, you know, just having had her origin story told, really only had a few minutes, but very impactful minutes throughout the movie. And so I loved how they were still able to give credence and value to some of these characters that didn't get too much screen time in Endgame. As far as the overall experience, Bella, we'll go back to you, and I want to ask, what were some of the character arcs that were your favorites over the course of these movies? And let's talk a little bit about what you loved about them.
So I think the obvious one would be Tony's. You know, when we first meet him, he's this, you know, billionaire and kind of a playboy, and, you know, his, you know, Happy and Pepper love him and, you know, work for him and stuff. But, like, I always just got the sense that he, like, kind of treated them like crap. And to then see, like, just the way over all the course of all the movies, you know, the way that he kind of grows and evolves and, you know, I think it was Brian that said that it started with Iron Man and the last movie ended with Iron Man. Like, that was, like, you know, I thought the same thing. Like, it's so pivotal. You know, because I honestly thought that Captain America would be the one to sacrifice himself, just because, like, that's such a, it's such an obvious thing. And let's be real, these movies are kind of obvious in terms of, you know, the decisions they make and stuff is in order to appeal to the masses. It's not like a thinker type movie as some movies can be. So for them to have it actually be Iron Man, I was like, oh, okay. Like, I can get behind this. Like, just seeing the way that he's evolving, you know, because it was the fallout, you know, falling out that he and Cap had, where, you know, one was very black and white on situations and the other was very gray. And then to just see the way that continues to evolve and change and, you know, the way that they were able to resolve their differences. And, you know, I really loved that transition. The other one that I really loved was Thor. I feel like he had one of the biggest changes, you know, from his first movie all the way through to the way that we see him in Endgame. I mean, he's just a hot dang mess in Endgame. You know, so those are probably my two, like, favorite character arcs. I have another character arc that I'm very unhappy with what they did in the movie, and feel like this person got cheated. I have always loved Black Widow, like, always loved her. I feel like she got gypped in this whole universe. Everybody else got, like, origin movies, with the exception of, like, I think, you know, Hawkeye didn't get one and that sort of stuff. But, you know, she's such a big, in my opinion, is such a big character and was really the first, you know, lady character in the universe. And she didn't get a movie. She didn't get any of that stuff. And so I'm still a little bit out of shape about how they did her in the movie. Cause it was interesting, especially to see this, you know, badass assassin, that can beat anybody up and, you know, takes no prisoners and that type of stuff, and then see how she, like, is still, like, holding out hope and trying to, like, keep everyone together and save the world, and at the same time, like, try and move on from losing half of everybody, and then to, again, it's late enough that we're spoiling things, to see that, you know, she just dies. You know, yes, it's a sacrifice, and I'm happy with the decision that she made. It's totally one that I would have expected from her, but then there was nothing shown, like, paying homage to her. And also there's no chance now for them to do a movie of her unless they go backwards. Although my boyfriend did point out that they kind of have, although it's not been Marvel. If you guys have seen the movie Red Sparrow, he was like, yeah, it's that movie. I was like, oh, well, yeah, but still. Not the Avengers, and that's what I wanted to see.
Right. Now, it's an interesting viewpoint, because I know that for myself, Black Widow, and again, I'm like you, Bella, in that I don't have a deep, a deep background knowledge of comic books and so forth. I discovered Marvel purely through the movies, and then a good friend of mine, Nick Kramer, he's been on shows with me before. he is the comic book guru in my life, and he introduced me to a lot of these characters from a comic book standpoint. It's the movies that have introduced me to these characters, and Black Widow for me, until you said it right now, I'm going through my mind in terms of the movie Endgame, and I don't know that we saw her fight anyone. Am I wrong, or is that?
Yeah, I think
you're
right.
The only fight you see her is when she's wrestling with Clint at the end.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. We see that, but what I don't know that I'll have the same opinion in terms of. I feel like her story got the ultimate moment for her in Endgame. Obviously, is this decision she has to make as to what is this going to be the decision I make to sacrifice myself. So I think we differ a little bit in terms of our opinion on the character arc, but I do think that there's something to be said about the fact that she's this badass way back in Iron Man 2 fighting throughout the Captain America and other places we see her, Avengers and so forth. This was totally, every bit of her screen time in Endgame was about the, I guess, I don't know if it's fair to say the human aspect of her, that this is really where she was the one trying to keep it all together.
I was thinking more like a family, like you give it what little bit we know and what we can infer. I'm sure people that read the comics and stuff have more information about her, but based on like what I've been able to infer from the movies and stuff, like I assume she doesn't have a family and like Clint is her family, you know, because they work so closely together and stuff. And in Endgame, like I really feel like it's, she's keeping that family together. Like the Avengers are now her family. And so that's really, like, you see the softer side of her. So it's not just the human aspect, but, like, the family aspect is
sure.
how I viewed it, I thought.
Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense. Brian, for yourself, what were some of the favorite character arcs or even, you know, character arcs that maybe you weren't overall pleased with?
I mean, Bella pretty much, you know, hit the nail on the head with Cap and with Iron Man, obviously. One thing interesting for me with Iron Man is his relationship with Peter Parker. I think that's something that it's very interesting, and I love the way they did it. You know, kind of this father figure to Peter Parker, and then they touched it in Endgame where, you know, he was able to go back in time and have that relationship with his dad and that conversation with his dad, and kind of understand how, you know, even though Howard Stark is seen as this, you know, kind of mean, like towards Tony, kind of just mean, and he didn't really care, and he was more about, you know, his business and his work and everything. But to Tony, you know, you kind of get that conversation where he genuinely loved and cared about Tony, and Tony was his. He mentioned it in Iron Man 2. I think it was that Tony was his greatest creation, and mm-hmm. you kind of from the beginning where he's, you know, selfish and playboy, you know, billionaire, and that's all he really cares about is himself. And, you know, he goes into this relationship with Tony, with Peter, and kind of just has his father figure to him and kind of genuinely cares about him. He doesn't want to see him get hurt. And he was very, whenever, you know, he gets back to Earth and he knows that he lost Peter, and he's very distraught from it. And he's very upset that he lost Peter. And he knows that it's his, in his mind, it's his fault that happened. And then, obviously, you know, to at the end to sacrifice himself at the end, and really, in the first Avengers, you know, Captain tells him if it came down to it, you would not sacrifice. All you care about is yourself. You don't care about others, and you wouldn't put your life on the line for other people. And I'll be here to see an end game to culminate with him sacrificing himself and you know, dying to save everybody. And I think one of those motivations, although yes, he cared about his team, but he did that knowing that he was saving Peter, and he knew that was his motivation, was his love for Peter Parker, which is incredible to me. And one thing that's interesting about Captain America is he's kind of had a little bit of the opposite. He was always been very selfless guy, obviously, from, you know, he's, you know, World War II and, you know, just old school kind of a mindset, where soldier mindset from his first movie, jumping on top of the grenade to save everybody else, and he was very selfless. And kind of the way his story ended, he made a kind of a selfish decision, and at least in the other characters' eyes, where you know what? He says, I've done everything I've done here. I'm going to go back in time and live my life with Peggy the way that I wanted to. And he did that. And, you know, obviously, you know, Sam and Bucky, they didn't want to see him go. They wanted them to stay with them. And he made that decision for himself. He did everything he needed to do to protect his friends and his, you know, the world, the universe per se. And he's going to do something for himself. He's going to go back in time, deliver all these Infinity Stones, and then he's just going to live his life out with Peggy and come back an older version of himself. And I think I find that very, very charming. I think the way that ended was, you know, his whole arc has been very selfless, very all about other people, all about the team. He just wants to do right and protect the people around him. And then to kind of make that decision, like, you know what, I'm going to do this for myself and stay back in time and live his life out with Peggy the way that what he always wanted to do and get that dance with her was incredible. She mentioned Thor. I think Thor was, I'm not sure more if it's more of the writing standpoint that early on, they didn't really know what to do with Thor. They're probably the weakest movies of the MCU in my opinion. Thor 2 is probably the worst movie in the MCU, in my opinion. And I don't know if that's more of a character arc story, but more of the writing. They didn't really know what to do with Thor early on. And they kind of, Chris Hemsworth is more, you can say he's more comfortable playing him now when it's more of a comedic, he's more funny, he's more himself. He's not this like God and very like, you know, Pinoy's pointed out very high. He's a funny guy. And Thor Ragnarok is probably one of my favorite movies on the whole MCU. And it was just funny. And you kind of get that Chris Hemsworth charm. And it's a funny character. And how they did it with him in Endgame, kind of he's got the beer gut. And he's more of a, you know, the way they did him in Endgame versus the way he was in the first Thor, even the first Avengers, it's just, I love that arc. I love the way he's played now. I'm not sure it's more of a story arc, but more of just the way they're writing his character. So the way that I think Chris Hemsworth has a say in it. I know there were some stories how he was kind of bored of playing Thor because of the way he was just very bland, in my opinion. And now he's kind of in himself. He's funny. He's a very interesting character, and he's always a good time when he's on screen. So I love the way that Thor is portrayed now, and I hope that continues, in future movies as well.
Yeah, it's hard to really say for myself which, you know, there's the obvious character arcs that I love, and like you guys, it begins and ends with Tony Stark and Captain America, Steve Rogers. Before I talk about sort of my thoughts on those two, I myself have always wished that there was, I can't get enough of the Hulk. There's a bit of him that I relate to in a lot of ways, and it's certainly not the strength part, but maybe some of the the humor that he carries and the way in which his battle throughout the course of the MCU was that inner struggle of himself as Banner versus, what the Hulk was. And I loved how in Endgame you reached that level where he had reconciled himself to understand that it wasn't necessarily a bad thing, that it could be put to use for good, and created for me some of the best character work within Endgame. You want to talk about, humor coming through. That was a character I did not expect it to come through the way it did. And I know from the comic books that there is that phase in which you have the Banner Hulk combo, the way we saw it in Endgame. And I thought that was really fantastic that they portrayed it on film. And that he got his moment to try to be the guy who would use the his knowledge and his brains to try to figure out the whole time travel scenario. So I really loved what how they used the Hulk a lot more in the latter movies of the MCU, particularly Endgame as well. And actually, his struggle in Infinity War was a big deal, even though we didn't see the Hulk quite as much. There was just something about that character that really appealed to me over the course of all of the movies and that I really related to. For myself, I remember there was a time right before Doctor Strange came out. It was one of the movies that I had decided I probably wasn't going to see because it just didn't really have any interest for me. And then, of course, I saw it and realized, how wrong I was. And so I wish characters like Doctor Strange, or I hope the characters like Doctor Strange and Black Panther and others that we only saw in the latter part of this, you know, this initial journey, will get future films and have a chance to sort of have more adventures and so forth for the screen. When it comes to Captain America, for myself, that has long been a favorite character of mine. It's probably one of the only comic book characters that I was familiar with and really had any experience with before all of these movies. And you guys, you know, you hit it right on the head. This was a guy whose character arc was totally about being selfless. It was about being the hero that we want to have. You know, someone who is of, you know, pure of heart, whose intent is always about taking care of everyone else. And everything in his character arc makes perfect sense. Every decision he makes, from the first Avenger all the way through, you know, the struggles he has after Winter Soldier, of course, being my favorite MCU movie of all. Endgame stands on its own. Winter Soldier will always be my favorite MCU movie. And then, of course, you move into Civil War, Infinity War, and so forth, and you see all of the different iterations that we see of Captain America. And yet what he never loses is that selfless nature. And, of course, it pays off. And I'm just going to ask you guys to tell me your thoughts, because I was one of those in the audience that I didn't see it coming. And when Mjolnir, the hammer, goes to him and Thor says, "I knew it," I lost my mind. It was an awesome moment. Did you guys have a similar reaction, Bella, in that moment?
Oh my gosh. It was incredible. Like, you know, because you'd expect like Captain Marvel or somebody from like outside of the world to be able to pick it up. And so to have it fly to Captain America, and just, I mean, you said it earlier, like Chris Hemsworth is Thor. And, you know, there's been articles about how like they really just let him ad-lib so much to like really create this character. And just his reaction of "I knew it," like, was just, whether that was, I feel like that couldn't even be planned out. Like, it was just, yeah, like that reaction was purely ad-libbed, and it was perfection. And I was like, holy crap. You know, and I'm excited for all the movies like for it to come out at home, so that I can watch. Like, I really want to watch Infinity War and Endgame like back to back, and really, yeah, see, like, to just see all the details and stuff like that that I may have missed. Because yeah, that was such a brilliant moment that I don't think anybody expected.
Yeah, the last hour of that movie was filled with brilliant moments. Brian, do you remember your reaction when the hammer flies to Captain America?
Yeah, it's funny, because I don't know if you remember in Avengers Age of Ultron, where he's doing they're doing the pull test, and they're kind of messing around.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Oh, it's all fake, and no, you can't do it. Nobody can even move it an inch. And then when Captain America goes on there and you kind of see it wiggle, and you can, yeah, see Thor's face like, oh no, like, you know, he can pick it up. And, you know, in my opinion, I think he could always pick it up. I don't know if this is just, you know, wishful thinking, or kind of just I'm going too far into this, but in my opinion, I think that, you know, Captain Steve Rogers being such a noble person and, you know, such a selfless person, I think he always knew that he could pick it up. But when he noticed that it moved a little bit, he didn't want to embarrass Thor. So he kind of just, oh, oops, like, I can't pick it up. And then, because obviously he kind of had this like, oh, he was trying to show off and he didn't want to embarrass him. So he kind of just, oh, look, I can't pick it up. And he knew that it wiggled. And then whenever that happened, where it kind of just flew past his face, and it was just amazing. It was brilliant. And
yeah,
kind of Thor like understood, like, yeah, like this guy gets it. He deserves this to be able to, you know, and back in Thor, when they said only the worthy can wield it. And, you know, obviously Steve Rogers, Captain America is definitely worthy of carrying, you know, Mjolnir. And it was great. It reminded me of, you know, in Star Wars, Man, I can't remember the name now. So when the first new Star Wars, I forget the name of it, where Kylo Ren is fighting, and then they kind of does the same thing where the lightsaber zips past Kylo Ren and hits Rey, and then she starts fighting him. It kind of reminded me of that, but like
okay.
times a thousand. Like it was just incredible. It was amazing, and it gave me goosebumps. This whole movie just I was just filled with goosebumps the entire time.
Yeah.
I think Brian's point of view is interesting because I had a little bit of a different point of view. So now that you mentioned the previous wiggle, I'm like, oh yeah, he did try and move it before. I forgot they all did that. In my head, it's more I don't like yes, Captain America and Steve Rogers, like he's this great guy and he's so selfless and this, that, and the other, but like I don't think he could really move it before. I think, yeah, like, the hammer was like, oh, okay, like, he might be worthy, so, like, I'll move a little bit. But, like, he still had work to do on himself. Like, you still see him continue to grow and make decisions and really, like, step into this, like, truly, like, selfless character, willing to sacrifice everything for everyone. And I think at that moment, like, you know, the granddaddy fight of them all is like when he's really like proven like I'm willing to sacrifice everything for everyone on this planet and this, that, and the other. And like at that, like in, I don't think he was worthy before as great of a guy as he was, you know, now he is like he was at that point. Everything he's gone through and all the decisions he's made up to that point have made him who he is and really like helped him grow into this worthy person worthy of wielding Thor's hammer.
Yeah.
And I think that's interesting because
interesting
we could
viewpoint.
Be, it could be, yeah, exactly. Like it kind of gives up to your own imagination because they're both completely reasonable and justified points of view. But the mm-hmm. thing about these movies that they give you the freedom to think, to have those thoughts on your own. And I think it's very interesting how they're able to do that, have different points of view
mm-hmm.
on certain things.
Yeah, absolutely. I mentioned earlier that the last hour was just full of, you know, to your point, Brian, the whole goosebump feeling
mm-hmm.
for the last hour of this film. I remember when they first announced the runtime at three hours, I thought, oh gosh, okay. Part of me was like, okay, wonderful. They're going to take their time. They're going to really explore and take us places. But then that other part of me was like, okay, God, that's like, oh, geez, that's almost half a work shift. Like, you know,
yeah.
I wasn't sure. How I'd manage it, but I've done long movies before. I've watched long movies before, so I was more excited than not. So within that last hour, you have a moment like that, and then just when you think that maybe that's the peak moment, that's sort of the pinnacle point, and then we start the denouement from there. We then get that moment just a few bits later after everyone appears, and we finally, Captain America is the one that gets to say Avengers Assemble, and of course at that point I just melted into my seat. So. Just some really great moments for Cap throughout throughout the entire MCU, but in particular, you know, this really was, he was one of the people who I would say this was his film to really, really chew the scenery on and bring that character home, literally, in that he, we see the end of his run as Captain America at the tail end of the movie. I want to talk a bit about Tony Stark because you've all mentioned his importance in this, you know, it begins with Iron Man, it ends with Iron Man. One of the things that for me was such a compelling thing was the whole Morgan storyline. This is the only glimpse we're ever going to get of the complete transformation of Tony Stark, Playboy, Iron Man 1, Iron Man 2, all the way to where we get to Endgame and we really see, I'll put it this way. And I'm hoping I'm right. I think I'm going to be wrong, but if there's a point at which you can give an acting award to somebody out of a Marvel movie, you got to nominate Robert Downey Jr., Tony Stark in Avengers Endgame. Am I overspeaking or is there value to
no.
what I'm saying? You guys think?
Oh, 100%. I agree 100%. He, if anybody's going to get an Oscar nod or some sort of award, it would be this movie. Robert Downey Jr. in this movie was just incredible.
Yeah, this movie, you know, you said it about Steve Rogers, but I would really say, like, a real life person, this was Robert Downey Jr.'s movie. Like,
sure.
He was brilliant in this movie. You finally see a side of, he's able to show a side of Iron Man that nobody has seen before and mm-hmm. do it so well and make it so believable. You know, he's still selfish. Like, that he didn't want to help them initially because he didn't
right.
want to give up his child, which I mean, I don't think anybody can blame him for that, but like that selfishness is still there. But you also see the tenderness and the conversations that he's having with Pepper and those moments with Morgan, you know, I love you 3000. I cannot tell you the number of tears that I cried hearing him say that and seeing her at the funeral with Happy and oh my gosh. Yeah. The movie was Captain America's movie, but this was also Robert Downey Jr. I mean, he was just brilliant in this film.
I can't disagree at all. One of the moments that for me, again, I love detail moments. I love these little nuances. If you think back to what we saw from Tony Stark in the first two Iron Man movies, really all the Iron Man movies. I think once we get to Iron Man 3, he's dealing with his PTSD. There's a lot of arcs or a lot of portions of his character arc that are falling into place that are going to lead towards his ultimate transformation into who he ends up being, you know, by the time we get to Infinity War and Endgame. There's a moment in Endgame where he does one last test to figure out the time travel conundrum. And I don't know if you guys noticed this, but he's always very cocky in Iron Man 1 and Iron Man 2 about what he can accomplish through his knowledge and his use of technology. He hits the home run on the time travel moment, and it shocks him. I don't know if you guys caught that.
Mm-hmm.
His reaction was like, whoa, he wasn't cocky about it. It genuinely shocked him. And so it's those little character moments that Robert Downey Jr., chose to portray in terms of his role in this movie that really, really rounded out this character in a way that if ever there's a perfect portrayal arc of a character over several movies that told a complete and genuine story, Robert Downey Jr. as Iron Man, Tony Stark, you just can't say enough. That's why I hope that there's at least a Golden Globe nomination in it for him, if not an Oscar mm-hmm. nomination, because you guys got to understand, Robert Downey Jr. for me, I grew up with him, you know, in the late 80s, early 90s, watching his movies and knowing his history and the dark mm-hmm. places that he was taken over the course, he himself will say that he took himself to over the course of his career, the decisions he made with drugs and so forth, some of the harshest stuff in the world, black tar heroin. I mean, this is a guy who is very open about his addictions and his struggles. And to see him get to this point in his career, he is a Renaissance man of sorts. I know this is not an episode on Robert Downey Jr. That'll be one for later. I just want to, for me, he's an actor and a man that has fascinated me and has I have nothing but respect and admiration for him as a human being and what he's done to revive his career and reinvent himself in a way that is healthy. And I think we see that in the way he chooses to portray Tony Stark mm-hmm. in this final film. I don't pretend to know his mind. But this is almost a cathartic moment for, I think, for him to be able to put some of that on screen and say, this is what it looks like when someone comes to a good place where they can really make decisions that are about themselves and others as well.
Well, I was just sitting here thinking as you were talking, I was like, you know, like, because I'm fascinated with his story too, like, you know, knowing how deep down the rabbit hole he went in terms of drugs mm-hmm. and alcohol and addiction and jail and like all of this stuff. And then to bring himself, not only just bring himself back from the brink, but like truly thrive in doing so. And I feel like you see a lot of that similar like story all the way through Iron Man's arc in terms of like, you know, fun playboy. And then, you know, with the PTSD and stuff that you mentioned earlier, like, really, like, Tony Stark was a really dark place for a while. and then is able to, like, kind of pull himself back and kind of save the day and that sort of stuff. So it kind of, like, I feel like Tony Stark and Iron Man's arc almost kind of mirrors Robert Downey Jr.'s personal arc, perhaps. You know, again, like you said, don't know what he's been thinking and can't read his mind and that sort of stuff, but just, you know, knowing what you read in articles and, you know, over the years and stuff, it's truly, like, an incredible transformation. And looking at him now, you would never know. And I think it's amazing what he's able to do.
Yeah, I mean, both of you have hit the nail on the head. It's also with, you know, we have to remember, I didn't come from the comic books either. I didn't really read the comic books before, but since I've been through this journey, I've kind of gone back and really, I've watched YouTube videos, I've done my research, and I've been so enamored with Marvel and the saga that I just wanted to know what the mindset was back in 2008 when this movie came out. Iron Man wasn't really a household, you know, superhero like in the comics, like Captain America or Spider-Man or stuff like that. It was kind of a not very well known, you know, hero. And then they took a chance, you know, they took a chance with Iron Man. They took a chance on Robbie Downey Jr. And it paid off, and it paid off massively, and they hit a home run, and it's kind of crazy. Tony's arc, Iron Man's arc, and even just Marvel's arc as a franchise, and Robert Downey Jr.'s arc as a actor, all kind of coincide with this one small movie in 2008. Kind of through these last 10, 11 years, you know, Marvel wasn't very, from my research, from what I read, that they were in a deep hole in back then. They had to sell all their rights to Sony. They sold Spider-Man to Sony and Fantastic Four. They sold those rights, and, you know, X-Men and all this other stuff. They were really struggling to kind of, people weren't really liking, you know, superhero movies anymore. And then they kind of took a chance on Iron Man. They took a chance on Robert Downey Jr. and Tony Stark and that story. And it blew up, and it's just incredible how they took a chance on this, and it turned, and it, what it culminated to, it's kind of ironic that in the movies, it's kind of the same thing. They took a chance on, you know, on these characters and on these people to, you know, save the world and save the universe. And then it all culminates in this giant, you know, $7 billion movie. And it's incredible, and it's insane. It's insane how looking back on it now, how big it became after just taking a chance on these people, on these actors, and these characters.
Yeah, they spent these actors spent so much time and so many years in these roles, and just to see, I remember as I was watching it the first time when the credits rolled, I remember thinking to myself, I don't think any single one of those folks is walking away from this experience unsatisfied. I think that they know that the work that they've put into it just really came together. And you know, I'm not going to call it a perfect film, because I don't know that I've ever seen the perfect film, but it comes darn close in terms of storytelling, visuals, the overall, you know, cinematic aspects of direction and music and costume. Everything just worked for me so well with this movie. But I just came out of it feeling like I had closed the book. You know, I don't know how often I've been reading, you know, actual literal books more recently than I have, you know, since I got a Kindle several years ago. For some reason this year, I just have this thing where any book I read this year, it's got to be an actual book. And I love that feeling of closing the back cover, you know, when you finish a book. There's something about that moment for me that is very satisfying. And that's the feeling I had as the credits rolled on Endgame. I felt like we were closing the book on a very well put together story with characters and character arcs that were very satisfying. The line that, man, I teared up as soon as the hologram image of Tony Stark in the end, right before the funeral scene, where he says, part of the journey is the end, or the end is part of the journey. It's Yeah, I mean, I joked a few years ago. It was about 2012, 2013, when Marvel and the film studios and stuff started to release all the dates of the future films in the series and the phases and so forth of the MCU. And I remember turning to Nick and saying, because he showed me a video where they were you know, talking about these movie releases and dates, and here we are, 2013, 2014, and they're showing us movies that are going to release in 2020, you know, or 2019. And I remember I turned to Nick and I said, man, I got to start eating better and taking care of myself because it's so far off, you know? And so the two thoughts I had were, that's a very satisfying feeling. I feel like I'm closing a really good book. And the other one was like, okay, good. Now I can start eating bad again. So I made it to the end. So, yeah. So I'll tell you what. Oh, go ahead.
As you say, your thought on closing the back of the book and you're finished the book, I had that exact same thought. And I'm curious how that's going to impact future movies, because I'll be real honest, I have not gone to go see Spider-Man Far From Home because I'm like, oh, MCU's done. Like, they told me the whole story. I don't care anymore. Like, not that I don't care, but
yeah.
I love Tom Holland as Spider-Man, and I watched all the Tobey Maguire ones, and those were whatever. Tom Holland is Spider-Man as much as Robert Downey Jr. is Iron Man, and as much as Chris Hemsworth is Thor. Like, he is Spider-Man. And I don't care to go see a movie. Like, I'm like, oh, like I'm almost a little afraid that maybe they did too good a job of wrapping up people's stories, because now there's no like urgency to go see. There's no urgency for me to go see Spider-Man, you know, Far From Home. Like, oh, I'll just see it when it comes out on Blu-ray or whatever.
So,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's so interesting you say that. I literally yesterday I posted on my Facebook and I caused a huge uproar when I literally said unpopular opinion. I have no interest in seeing Spider-Man Far From Home. For me, the MCU is done. And you know, you guys know me. I know y'all, we're all friends on Facebook, and you guys know how I interact.
Uh-huh.
I did it on purpose because I do feel that way. Like you, Bella, I'm like, what next? Like, what? They didn't leave me much to look forward to after all the years of. It got to a point when they were doing the post credit scenes, it got ridiculous. I mean, I think it was Guardians that had five, you know, but it always gave you something to look forward to. We finish Endgame and I'm like, okay, well, there you go. You know, I can go back to eating, you know, triple cheeseburgers and all this other stuff, because what's next? And so I don't know if maybe they did, like you said, they did too good a job, but I'm not compelled to see Spider-Man. And a fellow friend of mine, Juan Gonzalez, he does a podcast called Con Culture Podcast. He's agreed to come on in a few weeks and attempt to convince me. So we'll see what happens there.
Well,
I don't know what's next.
I will say to both of you that if you really love the Tony Stark arc, this movie, I watched Spider-Man opening night on Tuesday night. I promise you, you will be satisfied with it's officially. We know that Endgame is seen as the closing of the Infinity Saga in this chapter, and even Kevin Feige, who's the president of Marvel, has said that Spider-Man Far From Home is the official closing of the Infinity Saga, it's an incredible, incredible movie. It's probably top four MCU movies for me. It's an incredible movie. It still feels like a Marvel. Still feels like an MCU movie. I'm not trying to give anything away, but you really feel the impact of Tony Stark's departure in this movie. And it's you know, I kind of had the same thing. Like, where do they go from here? And this movie just, I didn't think they could get better, but this movie is incredible. And Tom Holland, you know, if you've liked Tom Holland in the movies before, this movie is he's on it for the first time. Because even Spider-Man Homecoming, it was more about, in my opinion, it was Spider-Man's movie, you know, it was a Spider-Man movie, but this was Tony Stark's movie. Because it was more of him being that father figure to Peter Parker, and in my opinion, at least. But this movie was the stage, the lights were brightly on Peter Parker and Tom Holland as Spider-Man, and it's an incredible film. And I don't know how I can do to convince both of you to see it, but it's an incredible movie. I strongly recommend watching it. You don't at least watch this one. If you don't want to watch the ones after, I think that's fair, because after that it kind of goes in a different direction. But this is the official culmination, the official closing of the book. The last, I would say it's at the end of the book when they have like that last paragraph or the conclusion.
The epilogue.
The epilogue. There you go. The epilogue. So this is the epilogue. This is the last chapter in connection with Tony Stark, and it's incredible. And I recommend both of you to see it. I understand why you wouldn't want to, but I would definitely recommend watching it. It's an incredible film, and I love it. It's one of my probably top three or top four Marvel movies for me.
So Brian, I get the distinct feeling that you want us to watch it.
Yes, I do.
You convinced me, so.
Yeah.
I guess it changes my weekend plan to something I have to go see it.
Maybe the three of us will get together.
Well, and it still begs the question too, though. Like he mentioned, like I don't know what happens to the follow up. He's like, I want a Black Panther follow up because I want to see more of those characters. But I think that's more of just because of and the same thing with Captain Marvel. I think it's just because those were so different. So. You know, they had, you know, different types of people than what we're used to seeing on TV, whether it's women or, you know, African culture or, you know, whatever, being so much in the forefront instead of just, you know, what we're used to seeing in Marvel movies. Like, I want to see more of those. But other than that, I'm like, Doctor Strange was great, but I don't really care if I see more of his story or... you know, more of the Hulk, as much as I love the Hulk and Thor and all of that stuff. I'm like, kind of, like you said, you know, like we've been talking about, just a bow has been tied on the story. And I would be worried that if they continue to like release all of these movies, that they're starting to be a dead horse.
Yeah. It will be definitely interesting to see how this all plays out. Well, as the as we begin to wind our conversation down, with Endgame having been sort of the root movie that we used for our foundation of this discussion, obviously we went back and forth throughout the MCU and talking about character arcs and so forth. I do want to make sure that I get your thoughts on Endgame. It's been out a couple of months now, and people have seen it by now. But just to sort of put a bow on the episode. Here on Reel to Reel, as we have done in previous movie reviews on shows I've done, I am bringing in to this project what I call the 5-taco rating system. And so I'm going to ask you guys to rate Avengers Endgame using a 5-taco scale. The idea is 5 tacos is the maximum you can give. And even if you want to go higher than 5 tacos, you can add guac to your tacos. So, Brian... Avengers Endgame, on a rating of 1 to 5 tacos, what do you give it?
I'll give it 4.5 tacos. I've eaten 4 tacos, and like I ordered 5 because I was really hungry. But after my 4th taco, after 4.5 tacos, I'm kind of full now. I'm kind of satisfied, so I don't need to finish that 5th taco. So that's why I'll give it 4.5 or 5 tacos.
All right, very good. Bella, what about you? Your thoughts on Avengers Endgame?
I give it 4 tacos, but all 4 tacos have guacamole on them. Because the directors of this film paid so much attention to details, and on my tacos, I like extra details, like guacamole. So I feel like my 4 tacos need to have the guacamole on them in order to truly represent my views on the movie. it was a phenomenal film. You know, there were things that I wasn't particularly happy with, but that's just my own personal views. I loved it. And so, 4 tacos with guacamole out of 5 for me.
All right. Well, for myself, I've said before, I won't call it a perfect film. It has its moments and things that for me were, kept it just a little bit short of perfect. But I am going to go 5 tacos plus guac because for me, Endgame really did a great job of, as I said, bringing us to the conclusion of a very, very marvelous story arc for not just characters, but also the Marvel cinematic story in its completion. That's why I fear, like we've been talking about, what happens next, what are we looking forward to, but I give it 5 guac-filled tacos for Avengers Endgame. By now, if you're listening to this and you haven't seen it, what is wrong with you? Get out there and see it before it is off of the theaters, or look forward to getting it home.
Run, don't walk to the movie theater.
That's right, yeah, run. Some of you have an extra long weekend, so take advantage and go catch Avengers Endgame on the big screen while you still can. And by the way, we don't get paid for saying that. So, guys, it's been a fantastic conversation with both of you. Brian, thank you so much for taking the time to share your thoughts with us here on Reel to Reel.
Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure. I've been wanting to speak on Marvel for a long time, and so I finally had the platform to do it. It was a blast. I had a lot of fun. Thank you so much for having me on.
Absolutely. I'm sure we'll get together again and talk more Marvel in the future. Bella, I know you and I have been talking about doing something like this for quite a long time, and I'm so happy to have you on the first episode of Reel to Reel. Thank you so much for taking the time.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I'm so honored to be on this first episode, and I know you and I have talked about a couple other ideas that I'm also so excited to talk about, and I have more ideas that I'll probably be emailing you later because, I wouldn't say I'm a movie buff, but I definitely know what I like and what I don't like. And I have had so much fun talking about movies, you know, especially the Marvel movies, where I'm watching it from maybe a different perspective than others because I'm watching it for the pure enjoyment of a superhero movie. So thank you so much for having me. I had a lot of fun talking about it.
Indeed. Well, definitely we'll have you back, both of you, at a future date, so keep those ideas coming. For those of you who are listening in, we will have a social media presence very soon where you'll be able to contact us and let us know what you want to talk about. To all of those who have already shared with me that they're wanting to have an episode of Reel to Reel with me, believe me, the day is coming, the time is here, and we are here now and ready to roll forward. So from all of us here, my friends Brian and Bella, to all of you out there, get out there this weekend, enjoy some movies, and just allow yourself to escape for a while the world of movie and cinema. It's going to be totally worth your while. We'll see you next time on next week's episode of Reel to Reel.